Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
July 18th, 2006, the Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, what about film? Yeah, what about film anyway? What about our film cameras that we have stashed in the back of the closet? Are we using those tools? Are we bringing them into our digital workflow so that we have all of our options open? Or have we forgot about them? And should we forget about them? You know, one of the things that's kind of cool about film is that we're able to get certain looks and certain types of pictures with film that we can't always get with our digital cameras. For instance, you know, a high contrast scene sometimes is easier to capture with print film than it is with digital camera. The latitude of print film allows us to hold those very bright highlights and those shadow areas a little bit easier than digital cameras do sometimes. So should we relegate our film equipment, you know, to, you know, obsolescence, to, you know, the museum that we will open someday? Or should we bring them back in? And that's what I want to talk a little bit about today. Now, before I do, I have a couple interesting items of note. One of them is, as you listen to this right now, we should be operating off a brand new Linux server. Now, I think this is important. I mean, you know, a lot of times you're going, well, why would I want to know how you're serving up the digital story? Why would I care, you know, how this stuff comes to me? Well, you know, if you've tried to post a comment over the past couple of weeks, or if you've had some trouble downloading the episodes either from iTunes or directly from the Digital Story site, you know why. Our old server was a very good server. You know, may it rest in peace. And it was fine when we were starting out and our subscriptions weren't that high in the very beginning. But, you know, by the way, this show has been around since October of last year. And it had a nice start. And then we just kind of rolled along for a while. And then over the last month or so, it's really taken hold, and the subscriptions have gone up substantially, and suddenly the server was having a hard time getting all the information out. And I saw, man, I've got to make a change, or, you know, we're all going to be in a lot of pain. And that's no good. This is supposed to be fun, not a painful experience. So we've made the move over to a different ISP where we have our own Linux server now. We're not sharing with somebody else, which is a big deal. You know, sharing a server with somebody is not always the best thing in the world. It's sort of like having a neighbor, but you're not allowed to knock on the door and find out, you know, why they're making all those thumping noises in the middle of the night. You just sort of have to say, I've got to live with this. And when you share a server with somebody, it's like that too, because you're not allowed to know who they are. So suddenly, if their activity gets really busy at the same time your activity gets really busy, well, then you have problems. So now we have our own server. We have more bandwidth. We have a upgraded everything, memory, hard drive, the whole deal. And I think the experience will be a lot smoother for you as you try to get the stuff. And for me too, as I try to post the stuff so that you can get it. So cross your fingers that everything goes well. If you do run into any little glitches as you try to get our content, please let me know so we can fix it right away. And I think we're going to be in great shape for a long time. I'm very excited about this. The other thing is that our new feature, My Favorite Lens, is really taking off well. I'm getting some just great anecdotes and great ideas about the different types of glass that are out there. And I think this is something that we're going to do for a long time, because there are so many fabulous lenses out there, and it's really hard to know, it's hard to keep up with them. And yes, you can go and read, different tests and reports and stuff about them, but I really think that people who are using them day in and day out and really get to know these lenses inside and out are the best people to share this information, and that's what we're doing. And, you know, each of us has a favorite lens or two. And if you want to contribute, all you have to do is go to the submissions area of the digital story. There's a big submissions button there on top. And one of the new things now, along with photo assignment and grab shots, are my favorite lens. And it basically tells you what you have to do. Write it all up. Send it to me. You can send it to either Derek at the Digital Story or questions at the Digital Story. I kind of keep them in a queue, and then I'm going to try to run one a week, maybe 2 weeks. Sometimes it depends, and mix them in with grab shots and photo assignments and everything else that we're doing. Grab shots are going great. Keep them coming. Don't forget to give me a little paragraph or so with each grab shot, because I think that's really what makes it interesting, is not only the shot itself, but a little bit about what was happening when you took it and what you used to capture it with. So keep those grab shots coming, but don't forget to give me some good information with the photo assignment for July is heat, and I think that pretty much says it all. Try to get those in by the end of the month. And I'm going to collect them all, and I'll, as I mentioned before, I'll be on assignment, but I should be able to post the heat photo assignment right around August 7th or so. So you won't see them right away as you normally do, but you will see them around August 7th. Heat, get those photos in. And again, if you have any questions about the photo assignment, go to the submissions button, hit that, and that'll give you the scoop. And one last note before we get to film. I want to mention that I had exchanged email with our sponsor, Photomagico, by Boinks Software, B-O-I-N-X. And he was saying that last month, June, they just had a great month for Photomagico. There was lots of interest. There were lots of demo downloads. There were purchases. There was lots of talk out there. And that basically, I think, you know, had a lot to do with what we were doing here on this site. I think we did really a great job of exposing this great tool, Photomagico Slideshow Software. And, you know, all of you that participated in this, even if you didn't turn in a slideshow, but if you just kind of got a little deeper into slideshow creation, and especially if you use their tool, I want to thank you. And I want to thank Photomagico again for being a sponsor on the site. They're just, they're behind all the work that we're doing, not just the slideshow stuff. Okay, let's get to film. Now, here's the thing. A lot of us who, especially those of us who shoot Canon or Nikon, but this is going to apply to other camera brands here real soon too. And I'll touch on that. We have lenses and we have film bodies too, for the most part, because we, you know, most of us started in photography before we got a DSLR or even before we got a compact digital camera. The love of photography is not, for most people, something that just starts because they see a digital camera at Best Buy. So I've been noticing that I've been using my film camera less, although I use it quite a bit. But even as I talk to other people, I find that they're using their film camera even less than I am. And I just start thinking about, are we missing an opportunity here with this equipment that we already have invested in and paid for and have, you know, to use? I think this gets even more interesting for people who aren't ready to invest in a DSLR body yet, but they have an SLR body. They have an old Canon or Nikon or something, and they have lenses for it. And so they have a film camera, but they're not quite ready to spend the, you know, the $1,000 or more for a digital SLR body. So what they're doing is that a lot of times these folks, and you know, a lot of us, you know, are very passionate about our photography. They're getting a compact digital camera, which is a great idea. I think everyone should have a compact digital camera. They're getting a compact camera, and they're using that for all of their photography, and sometimes trying to get the compact to do the work that is really more suited for an SLR or a digital SLR. So one of the points that I wanted to make today is, if you fall into that category, don't forget about your film camera. because it's very easy these days to shoot film. And then when you take your film to the lab, any lab, whether it's a professional lab or you go to, you know, the local drugstore, most outfits that process film now have upgraded their machines, and they can scan your film basically the same time they're preparing the prints and doing everything else. The upshot is, of course, that you can shoot film and still end up with a very good digital product. You take the CD or the DVD that they give you, and then you just go ahead and import those images into your digital workflow the same way that you would if they were coming right out of a digital camera. Now, there are a few things to keep in mind. For instance, the lab that I work with, they give you options as to how high quality the scans are. And at the low quality is the default. And of course, it's also the cheapest. But I was looking at the file size for the low quality ones, and I have accidentally received those myself before I remembered to say, I want the higher, I want you to upgrade me there. And they're good for making prints about up to 5x7. And when I say, you know, the quality, I mean that at 240 pixels per inch, 240 ppi, I can make a 5x7 print with these scans. So that's the low quality. Now, it doesn't mean that the scanning itself is low quality. It just sort of means the size of the file and the resolution aren't as high as some of the other options. Now, I think that generally speaking, you want to think about your film scans the same way that you want to think about capture in your digital camera, which is go for a high resolution, because you never really know how you're going to want to use any of those prints. Even if you're normally a 4x6 snapshot aficionado and you rarely do anything bigger than that, I would still think about getting scans that allowed you to make at least an 8x10 or an 8.5x11 print at photo quality. So this is one of the conversations that you have to have with your service provider, with your lab, to make sure that when you take your film in and it's scanned, that you are getting scans that allow you to make a nice 8x10 print. Now, sometimes you'll even have the option of getting a scan that even has more resolution, up to 11x14 or so. Now, you may not want every shot that you take to be scanned at that high resolution, because then suddenly you're talking about a lot of data, a lot of file sizes, big file sizes, and a lot of them, right? Because with film, you're getting, you know, everything scanned, even the bad shots. So then you might want to think about, well, what's my plan here? Maybe my plan is to have everything scanned at like an 8x10 resolution, and then, you know, keeping that film and the shots that you really like, take them back and have them scanned at a higher resolution. That's kind of one way to go about it. My real point here is to, you know, think through this option that you have so that, you know, you have some sort of digital option, digital workflow for the stuff that you shoot with film. That way, even if you don't have, you know, the latest digital SLR, you still have a pretty good film SLR that has most of the options that you would want on your digital SLR. You have a very good medium in film, and you have an option to digitize it. Now, one of the advantages to film over, I think, digital capture, as I mentioned earlier, is that especially with print film, you have a wide exposure latitude. And what I mean by that is print film has the ability to hold highlights, the detail in the very bright areas, and the detail in the darker areas at the same time. It has a wider latitude than most of our digital capture devices. So that means that when you're in tricky lighting conditions or you're shooting landscape that has a lot of brights and darks, that a properly exposed film image has probably a lot of information in it, and maybe more information than your digital capture. So this is one of the things that you want to think about. So if you're planning a trip somewhere and, you know, the main focus of your trip is to, you know, get some really great landscape shots, and you have a good film camera, it doesn't take up a whole lot of room, then you might want to put your film camera in there along with your digital camera. And this is especially true, again, if you don't have a DSLR. Now, when you use film, I do recommend that you stay at the lower ISOs. And there is, you know, this isn't that much different than setting the ISO on our digital camera. Film, especially for landscape and times when you want to capture that wide exposure latitude, generally at the lower ISOs is better. Generally down at ISO 100 or 200, and maybe even up to 400, because film is pretty decent these days. I mean, it's not like people, Fuji and Kodak, the folks that have been developing film, have just, you know, abandoned, you know, the evolution of that technology. They're still working on it. But you want to keep film down in the lower ISOs if you really want to get this wide exposure latitude. Now, some folks have asked me, well, why not shoot slides? And slides are fabulous. I tell you, you know, I'm an avid slide shooter myself. But if the point of this exercise is to create, you know, original content that is going to be worked into your digital workflow, the problem with slides, in my opinion, is that the exposure latitude for slides is more narrow. That's why, you know, it was for a long time before digital came along, you know, it was very macho to get a really great slide. I mean, that was like, you know, if you can get that slide that has all that information that you want in it, you really know what you're doing when you take the shot, because I think slide film is less forgiving than print film. And of course, the argument then was, well, but the thing about slide film is how I shoot it is how I get it. No one's interpreting that negative for me. And that was a lot of times my beef with shooting print film, is that I would have a good negative and then, you know, they wouldn't print it the way I wanted at the lab. And I'd go, well, at least with slide film, if I shoot it right, I get a good slide. But I think the digital workflow changes that a little bit, because now all we're really after is that great original negative. We're going to have that scanned, right? And we're going to capture all that information. And then when we take that scan and we put it into a Photoshop or iPhoto or whatever we're using, Aperture, Lightroom, then we get to do the interpretation and not the lab. And therefore, we get to pull out all that information that's in there, or at least emphasize the areas that we're most interested in. So I think digital photography changes film photography in that way. And so now if I'm thinking about using film for capture, I'm thinking much more about print film than I am about slide film for this very reason, because I think it's a good starting place to capture all the information I want. So that's just something to sort of feed into your thinking process. And, you know, another option is if you shoot film and you have it scanned, you don't have to get prints, right? Because you may not want prints of everything that that you shoot. So a possibility is to shoot your film, have it scanned, load those scans into iPhoto or Photoshop, whatever you're using, take a look at the ones that you really like, and then work those, and then print those out yourself. You kind of see, you know, where there's some real opportunity here for this. Now, the other thing around that has to do with equipment. For example, people who have Minolta cameras have a lot of great lenses, probably. Some Minolta made some fabulous autofocus lenses. But now you didn't, you know, Minolta isn't really making digital DSLRs now, but Sony has come out with the, I believe, the A100 that will accept those Minolta mount lenses. So if you have a Minolta camera, you have a good film camera, you can use those lenses, you can do film and so forth, and then maybe up the road you can still use those lenses for a new Sony digital SLR. And I tell you, the new Sony, they're coming out with a lot of features at a pretty affordable price. Again, so you're keeping your old equipment alive, not only by using it now with the film and so forth, but you might be able to use those lenses on newer bodies. So then conceivably you could be going on a trip somewhere. You could have your old Minolta film camera in there, a few rolls of film. You could have your new digital SLR that can use those lenses, and off you go. You have all sorts of options. Folks who shoot Canon and Nikon are already familiar with this because a lot of us are using the same lenses now on our digital bodies that we're using on our film bodies. Again, stick a film body in there, take your digital body, your favorite lenses. You're in business. You have a lot of options when you're out there in the field. Now, another technique I want to talk about, if you're interested in this whole film concept that I'm peddling here, is using your digital camera, even your compact digital camera, to help you preview the scene while you're shooting with film. Because, of course, this is the problem with film, isn't it? I mean, unless you're shooting out there with a Hasselblad that has a Polaroid back, you don't really get to see the scene translated into two-dimensional. Okay. And even then, I have to say that, you know, I struggle with the whole Polaroid back on both a Hasselblad 2.25 format cameras and even 4x5 cameras. And it's just not the same. There's, you know, Polaroid film is not the film that you have in your camera. But it did give me at least an approximation of how I'm doing with composition and exposure and so forth. But an option that you have now with your film camera that you didn't have before is that take your digital camera with you. As you're setting up your film camera to capture the scene, take a shot with your, it could even be your compact digital camera, but you could, if you have a DSLR, obviously that's really nice too. But take the same shot with your digital camera and then analyze the scene a little bit on your LCD monitor, on your digital camera. Did that sky blow out on you? Did, is the composition not what you thought it would be? Analyze the elements and so forth. And then apply what you learned by looking at the LCD monitor to your film camera. Adjust your settings a little bit or change the composition a little bit. And I think it will help you get better shots with your film camera. So your digital capture device suddenly becomes a really great preview tool for film. And the cool thing about it is when we were using Polaroids, first of all, they're really messy. I don't think Polaroids are exactly environmental friendly. If you look at all that goo and that stuff that you end up putting in the trash, and then they're expensive. They cost you like $1.50 or so a shot. Whereas with your digital camera, it doesn't cost you anything, really. The other advantage to using digital capture along with film is then when you go back to your room that night and, you know, you still have some time before you're going to get your film processed, you can go back and you can look at the day's shoot and you can say, wow, God, what a wonderful day. I got this shot. I got this shot. I got all this great stuff and I can't wait to see what the film is going to look like, but I have digital to play with right now. So there's that immediacy of digital, not only while you're in the field trying to analyze your shot, but even later on while you're waiting for the film to be processed and come back. So you can see that there's some really good intersections of using these two media, film and digital, and I think they can really work together. Now, one of the things that digital, I think, does easier is adjusting the white balance and so forth. So for instance, and this is where I'm going with this, is using digital as a preview device again. For instance, if you're out in the field, and let's say you're shooting a landscape shot that has a lot of shady areas, you know, a lot of shade. So you can shoot it, let's say, in regular daylight white balance, which is basically what your film is, right? Your film is a daylight white balance. And you can look at it and you can go, it's a little bluish. It's a little too cool. So then what you can do is you can change the white balance on your digital camera maybe to cloudy, right, which warms it up a little bit. And you look at it and go, oh, wow, that is really nice. Well, there are translations from digital to film that you can use to approximate that same effect with your film camera. So if the cloudy shot looks better on your digital camera, then you may want to put, for instance, an 81A warming filter on your film camera to produce that same effect with your film capture. Again, this is a way where digital and film can work together. There's one last advantage here to this process I'm going to touch on, and then I'm going to let you go off and think about this a little bit, and I'm sure we'll revisit this concept again and again. But the last thing I want to leave you with is that when you capture film, you have film, for instance, and you don't have to worry about hard drive crashes. You don't have to worry about your optical disc going bad. You don't have to worry about a lot of the concerns that we have in terms of storage and archive with digital. With film, you get the film back. You make sure that it is in archive sleeves. Almost everything out there these days is what we call PVC-free, which means it doesn't have the chemicals in the sleeves that will cause the film to deteriorate. So you just want to make sure that whatever you store your film in is archival quality. If you do that, and then you mark them accordingly, and you may want to work out some sort of system to where, you know, when you're looking at the scanned versions of the film on your computer, that there's some way to correspond those with your film storage so that you can, if you need to go back and find a negative, you can do that easily. But my point is that, you know, with film, you have a good archival backup of your shots that is immune to hard drive crashes and optical disc failures and all that computer-related stuff. So it's another thing to keep in mind when we think about advantages to shooting film or bringing film into our digital workflow is that, in a sense, your backup is taken care of for you. Now, that doesn't mean that as you work your shots and so forth, your scans that you brought into it, that you shouldn't back them up. You should. You should do everything you can to protect your work. But it's a nice safety net to have those film images stashed away somewhere, and again, where it's not too hot, where it's not too humid, all the things that we know about taking good care of film. But to have those things stashed away somewhere so that, heaven forbid, if you did have a hard drive crash or if you did lose some of the digital versions of those shots, if you did lose some of the scans, you can always go back to that film, you can have it rescanned, and you're back in business. So there are some real things to think about here, and maybe our film cameras shouldn't be stashed away back in the closet. Maybe they should be out there in our camera bags with everything else, and maybe we should be working them into our digital workflow. Something to think about. So regardless if you're going to go shoot film or digital or whatever it is this week, go out there, get your camera, get a good photo assignment shot, heat for this month, turn it in, get some grab shots, and let's keep this ball rolling. Thanks a lot for joining me, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.